Good evening from Toronto, Canada, for May the 20th, 2014. This is Song Talk, the scope on the scope at Ryerson. It's this program where we talk about songwriting. We talk about the process, the mechanics, and the ideas behind the songs. I'm Neil Modi. I'm your host for tonight. And with me, as usual, is the rest of the Song Talk team, the bombastic Bruce Herrett.
Yay! Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Good to have you, Bruce. And the phantasmagorical Phil Emery.
Phantasmagorical.
I like it.
Can barely see you there.
I'm so cool. I'm misty.
That's right, the misty Phil. Okay. Tonight's show is a very special episode of Song Talk.
Tonight on a very special Song Talk Radio.
It's a special time here on Song Talk. Today, we are talking about bridges, what they are, and some examples of songs on which Bruce, Phil, and I are going to delve deep and find out what makes them tick and what makes them great bridges. At least, that's what we think. Mm-hmm. But first, I'd like to invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. What are your favorite songs with bridges? Let us know. You can email us at feedback@songtalk.ca or tweet us at Song Talk Radio or post your faves at facebook.com/songtalkradio. And towards the end of the show, we're going to let you know about the next Songwriters Meetup, which takes place right here in Toronto. So, what is a bridge? Well, in songwriting, a bridge refers to a contrasting part of a song that leads you back to the main part of the song. That's according to the Wikipedia definition. For a little clarification, in some parts of the world, for example, in the UK, they refer to these middle sections as middle eights. But for our conversation tonight, we're going to use strictly the term bridges.
And also in Denmark, it's called the stick.
Yeah, in Denmark, apparently, it's called the stick.
Those wacky Danes.
Crazy.
Is that Danish?
Stick it to the Danes.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that the Danish language, the word stick?
I don't know. It's just they call it a stick.
Most people in Amsterdam speak English, I think.
Well, they should.
Certainly.
All right, he's talking about Denmark. Let's move on.
All right. Back to music. So, for example, if you've got an AABA song structure, the B refers to the bridge. The A could be verse, chorus, bridge, and then either verse, chorus, or just the chorus.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think most people would think of a song structure with a chorus as being A, B, and the bridge would actually be a C part.
A C part, yes. Yeah. And usually, you can look at it that way, too.
Usually there's different chords in a bridge. Yeah. Sometimes a key change.
Yep.
It could be actually a dynamic change.
Different melody.
The idea is that you want to kind of cleanse the palate, so that when you come back into the chorus or the verse again, it's kind of a bit fresher.
It's a little bit fresher, yeah.
It's like the sherbet that you have between courses on a fine meal. It's to cleanse the palate.
I've never had a fine meal like that.
It's in French cooking. They give you a little sorbet between the courses to cleanse the palate for the next course.
Right. Yes.
This was when I was in the 18th century, of course. When
of course.
Hanging out with
Bruce is a little older than we are.
Yeah. It can include harmonic changes, melodic tempo even, any kind of contrasting change. The one thing they all have in common, I think, is that they introduce some kind of tension into the song. So when we come back to the verse or chorus, there's a release.
Yeah, it's teasing you.
We've got some like great discussion on the Facebook page, the Songwriters Cafe Facebook page, as well as the Song Talk Facebook page. So if you want to get in on that... Some great information has been given out by people like Michael Gee and of course Vladimir, who's come out to the Song Talk
to the cafe.
To the cafe.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you say?
So is Michael.
Yes. We had a big discussion about whether or not Hard Day's Night has a bridge, and it got quite heated in here.
Mm-hmm.
And Vlad was saying that that Hard Day's Night does have a bridge, and that's why he's so great, because he agrees with me.
But at the same time, the page that he linked to never mentioned the word bridge on the academic page.
Okay, what did he say? Oh, he agreed. Anything from Michael?
Michael says it doesn't sound like a bridge because it occurs twice like a chorus. And actually, on the Wikipedia page, it does say the bridges happen once.
Usually happen once.
Yeah, so I guess maybe technically speaking, it should be once.
Yes.
Yeah, and in A Hard Day's Night, that bridge does not have the feel of a chorus to me. It doesn't have the title of the song, and it's not that hooky. It's engaging.
It's engaging. It does change the point of view of the narrative. There are arguments for it both.
Well, but they were not slaves to style, right? They wrote in a certain style, but then when they started doing Sgt. Pepper and Abbey Road and that, they were all over the place. They were doing like mini operas and
they've done songs where it's just verse, bridge, verse.
or even more, they've done like movements, you know, where it's different movements of things.
Exactly.
But you know, I was thinking, people are probably asking themselves, well, sure, that's great for all the rich people, but what does a bridge sound like?
That's a good question.
It's fortunate you asked that question, Phil, because we happen to have brought with us a bunch of examples of songs that have bridges, and we're going to look at a few of them, or listen to a few of them.
Yeah.
As much looking as we can do on the radio. Yeah. And let's just get started with them. So the first one tonight is a song from a Saskatoon-based band. They're an island rock band, self-professed, and they're called The Steadies. And this song is called See You When I Go.
I wanna stay young, I know we won't, but what will happen when we're growing old? And people say that there's a place that we can go to in a life like this. And if I'm gone before you wake, I'll find heaven when I see your face. I will see you when I go, see you when I go, see you when I go.
Okay, so that was the Steadies' song called See You When I Go. So that song had a structure of a couple of verses, a chorus, another verse, the chorus, and then the bridge section hit. So in the bridge section, they sort of switched up some chords. They kept in the same key, I think. They switched up some chords.
They dropped out a huge number of instruments.
Yeah, so
basically down to drums.
Yeah, drums and bass and a muted guitar kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they dropped it in the production wise.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a contrasting section. They didn't change tempo or anything like that.
No.
Lyrics changed up a little bit. There's a beautiful place inside of me or something like that.
Yeah, maybe a little more introspective.
Yeah, definitely. It changed not tone of voice, but more it moved to a different place of point of view kind of thing.
Yeah. Certainly did
reflective,
that. Reflective. And then when the verse and chorus came back, it was a little bit more refreshing, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, because we stepped away for a minute and then came back. It was a pretty short bridge. It was like, I think it was eight bars.
Yeah.
Maybe. So it was just quick and there
and back. It's cool how the bridge brings about so many changes. And because I think people love hearing repetition, and at least in pop songs, that's the whole thing. But I was reading this book by called Tunesmith by Jimmy Webb. And he said, well, you know, a theme and variation, think of the origins of classical music. That was all about a theme.
Yeah.
And then bringing variation to make the thing interesting and going here. And coming back to the theme, which you could call the hook. The great writers of classical music, the big opera or the big symphonies, they had great hooks, right?
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Well, I know when I went and saw Carmen at the Met down in New York, it was amazing how many hits came from that opera.
That one
opera. You just knew all of them, and not just because I watched a lot of Bugs Bunny.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
So how about some homegrown talent? Do we have any samples from homegrown talent?
I mean, homegrown? You mean Canada? You mean Toronto?
Do you mean like
right here at home?
Do you mean like right in this room?
Yes.
Like in this room?
I brought a song.
This
I don't think so.
Super local. Oh, my God. You know what we have up next is a song by our own very own Bruce Herrett. Look at that.
I'll just tell you about this song. So I wanted to write this song about from a book I was reading back in the day called The Tao or Tao, T-A-O, some people might say Tao, but I think it's the Tao of Pu. And it was a little book trying to find Buddhist philosophy in Pu. Winnie the Pooh, which I thought I was intrigued by. And
Winnie the Pooh is the great Buddhist.
Yeah. So this one lesson was that, I think it was one of them, Pooh Bear, I think it was, that the lesson was, sometimes you just do nothing. And the lesson was if somebody was jumping into a river and if they started to paddle crazily, they might drown. But if they relaxed and floated downstream, they were moved into a small little cove that was calm and they relaxed and they were saved, not drowned. So the idea was, when is it smart to do nothing?
Right.
So this song was kind of based on that and a straight ahead song with a verse, chorus, and a bridge. And we'll talk about after how what I would do differently today.
Okay.
If I had to write it again today.
So just so that we can keep our ears peeled for the bridge, can you describe the bridge and how it changes?
Well, the chords, I flip the chords around, so I do a different sequence of the same chords. Lyrically, it changes to talking about if you have to do something, there's nothing I can do about it. So everything previous is about do nothing, and this is a question. So everything else... everything else in the song is telling you what you should do to do nothing, and this one sort of says, well, if you're going to do that, so you'll hear it's the bridge starts with, if you have to do something, there's nothing I can say,
right.
But if you want to be happy, you'll do nothing every day. So that's the little bridge section.
Okay.
It's 8 bars.
Cool.
Great.
On a summer's day, reading the Tao of Pooh. The Eastern Way is Winnie's way, and I'll share it now with you. Do nothing, do nothing, do nothing. Sometimes the wisest thing to do is to just do nothing. Life is filled with choices, there's so much you could do. But when you're faced with a big decision, here's my advice to you. Do nothing, do nothing, do nothing. Sometimes the wisest thing to do is to just do nothing. If you have to do something, there's nothing I can say. But if you wanna be happy, you'll do nothing every day. If you get mad at someone you'd really like to scream, just listen to these words of wisdom. They work just like a dream. Do nothing.
Okay.
Right.
So that was Bruce Herrett's song, Do Nothing. I think Bruce is pretty much as you described it. It was an inversion of the chords, an inversion of the lyric to a certain extent, and nice and simple.
Yeah. I always had a little joke in it. Like, if you have to do something, there's nothing I can say. I put in nothing there. But if you want to be happy, you'll do nothing every day. And sometimes when I'm performing that live, it gets a little chuckle. I was just saying to Neil, not a big chuckle, I didn't say it was funny, that funny. But one thing I was just talking about with Neil is when I perform live, people love singing along to this because it's so easy. They just do nothing, do nothing, do nothing, and then they make their way through the rest of the...
So you're asking people to do something.
Doing something, but minimal.
But minimal. Just sing two words.
And actually, you know, don't do much is actually a little harder to rhyme.
Yeah, yeah.
So
don't do too much, don't do too much. So, I mean, what I would do differently today, because this was at the beginning of my songwriting. This was my first album back in 1996, and I was a beginning, not a beginning lyricist, but a beginning writer of melodies and chords and things. So I think I would have changed up the chord progression in the bridge. I would have gone off, I think it's a D and a G with an A in there. I think I would have gone into perhaps an E minor or gone into something different to give it a different feel. Mm-hmm. And I might have gone a little melodically further. I would have kept the lyrics the same. But anyway, it works okay. It's clearly a bridge.
I think the takeaway lesson here is that it doesn't have to be a big dramatic shift. Like, it can be something subtle like that. You can, like, literally, the last chord of the chorus and the first chord of the bridge are the same chord.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think you shift the melody slightly.
Yeah.
And then, but just that subtle shift, it actually... It still comes out as a bridge, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it comes out as a difference.
Well, it does the job.
It does the job.
I did the job.
Yeah. You got the job done.
I get my Bachelor of Bridges.
And if anything, it kind of goes with the philosophy of the song. Like, you're not going to be, you're not thrashing around doing some dramatic act,
when people
act,
ask me,
right?
People would ask me and say, you know, it's really interesting. Why are there not too many notes? Like, you're in a three-note range. And I said, it's a song about doing
nothing,
man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be all over the scale.
Yeah.
And I don't even think I planned that. Like, it's just that when I started getting the groove of a song about do nothing, I wasn't about to climb scales or go anywhere.
Yeah, right? I think your intuition led you right in that regard, right?
Keep it minimal.
Yeah. Cool. But so how could people actually get in contact with us if they wanted to, Neil?
Well, actually, if they wanted to get in touch with us, they can contact us at our website at songtalk.ca. You can email us at feedback@songtalk.ca. You can tweet us on our Twitter at songtalkradio, and you can join us at our Facebook page, facebook.com/songtalkradio.
Yes.
Great.
And now, this show is actually grew out of the Songwriters Cafe, which will be happening this Sunday.
Sunday, May 25th at 4 o'clock at the Central Bar. For you folks in Toronto who have never been there before, it's on Markham Street, just south of Bloor, around the corner from Honest Ed's. And again, that's 4 o'clock this Sunday, the 25th. I'll be hosting there. And what happens there is you bring along a song, either on an MP3 or bring your guitar or your Steinway Grand, if you can carry it.
And I have one in my wallet.
Well, we get around, gather around the fire. There isn't a fire. We gather around the small room in the bar, and each person takes a turn. They perform their song or play it, and then the rest of the group is invited to give their encouragement, what they loved about it, and also what they would do differently as a songwriter. So you, as a songwriter, you get all this feedback from very different kinds of people from all genres, and you hear the most surprising things, some of which are very useful.
And very constructive. It's constructive. Great.
Well, because often we get, sort of within our own brains a little too much, right? And sometimes a different set of ears can open up a perspective you never even thought of before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to record anything, I would definitely advise bringing the song in before you record it, because after it's recorded, you'll be going, oh, I wish I did that.
Yeah. But bring a recording if you have one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can't. If it's a finished recording, you can still bring it, and you may rewrite it, or you just want the input for your new song you're going to write. So we're not restricted to songs in process. We kind of prefer them because they're kind of cool to hear somebody when they're just starting out a song.
It's quite useful that way.
Even a song fragment you can bring in.
Yeah.
La. Something like that.
Something like that. One chord.
But, you know, getting back to bridges.
Yeah.
There's
was
a lot of different...
a bridge that you just did there?
Well, yeah.
It was a segue,
yeah.
Well, it's there's lots of different ways you can actually make use of a bridge format. It doesn't actually have to be like a musical change. It can be just a dynamic change. Mm-hmm. And the next example we have is actually an old jazz standard. It's... Into Each Life, A Little Rain Must Fall by Ella Fitzgerald and the Ink Spots. And like a lot of the old songs, there's actually no chorus. It's actually just a verse, and it's actually the same verse repeated over and over again, and the same lyrics repeated over and over again. And the way they've given variety to this music is by having a different person perform each verse. And this was a bit more common back, you know, in the 40s and probably earlier. But listen to what they do to make a bridge, even though there's actually no musical change. It's quite neat. And also, part of one of the reasons it works so well is because Ella is doing some great stuff in the background, but it's still a really good object lesson. So this is cool. Ella Fitzgerald. Okay.
To each light some rain must fall, but too much is falling in mine.
Into each life some rain must fall, but too much is falling in mine. Into each heart some tears must fall, but someday the sun will shine. Some folks can lose the blues in their hearts, but when I think of you, another shower starts. Into each life some rain must fall, but too much is falling in mine.
Into each and every life some rain has got to fall, but too much of that stuff has fallen into mine. And into each heart some tears has got to fall, but I know that someday that sun is bound to shine.
Some folks can lose the blues in their hearts,
but when I think of you, another shower starts. Into each life some rain must fall, but too much is falling in mine.
That was "Into Each Life, a Little Rain Must Fall." And while we were on the break there, or while we were listening to that tune, we found out who the writers were, because this is a songwriting show, and Ella Fitzgerald and the Ink Spots did not write that song. And let's give credit where it's due. It's Alan Roberts wrote the words, and Doris Fisher wrote the music.
1944, actually.
Okay. 1944.
Yeah.
Okay, so there we had an example where it was literally just the change to spoken word into a different singer, different performer.
What an incredible delivery, you know? I mean, I just wish I could be that cool.
Oh, the voice.
Yeah,
he did a good job on that. And really, it's exactly the same chords going in the background, right?
The same music.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it's spoken word, there was a musicality to the spoken word.
Oh, definitely.
You know, like
definitely.
It's in rhythm, it's in kind of...
Very early rap.
Yeah, very, very early rap.
Although you'd find very few lyrics in 1944 about blasting a cap in someone's butt.
Right.
As far as I know.
That's true.
Probably not.
Yeah. But you remember there was that trend in the 60s. I think it was around the time of Elvis, early 60s, where there was voiceover parts of songs.
Yes.
It was pretty standard. You know, they go, "Yes, my darling. We walked that night," you know, a little old-fashioned, maybe turn of the century, 1920s. But I remember a lot of that, and they were very charming in that song. And that speaking over music is so cool as a break.
Oh, yeah.
It does
exactly what you need a bridge to do. It cleanses the palate.
Yep.
And then when it comes back into the chorus, you know, it just, it's not really a chorus, but the end of the phrase.
When the melody comes back it lifts that much higher.
You know, and it just kind of gives it a great thing. And, what a great track by Ella Fitzgerald, you know.
Okay. And we have another one that uses spoken word. Is that correct, Phil?
Well, that's correct. This one is by a singer named Stan Ridgway, who was the vocalist for one of my favorite bands called Wall of Voodoo back in the day. They had a song called Mexican Radio that was a big hit. And this song is called Drive, She Said. And the way he handles the bridge is they just kind of break everything down and kind of give it a whole different atmosphere. So it's kind of like the exact opposite of what we heard. It's very, very involved and lots of bits to
there's,
it.
There's quite a bit more story, I think, in this one, yeah?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And we'll keep in mind that the cut we have is just one verse and one chorus before we get to the bridge, but the actual song has two verses, two choruses before we get to the shift, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This be an excerpt?
Yes. This is the radio edit.
Oh, okay.
Well, I watched her put her hands on the bag in her lap while I scratched the bald spot on my head. I knew then that my cab was just a getaway car, but I shut up and drove, like she said. I took a bite of my donut and then I offered her one. I said, lady, are you in a fix? Then she reached in her purse and she pulled out a gun and said, now just shut up and keep your hands on the wheel.
Song, Just Drive, She Said. Well, it certainly was, Phil, a big shift. The first thing I want to note from my part is that they just stripped away all of the instrumentation except the drums and a little bit of guitar, I guess. There,
a little bit of synthesizer or whatever.
The synth or whatever, yeah. But suddenly there was this, you had this wall of sound, as Phil Spector said. You have a lot of sound and then whew, down, and that is an ear catcher, when I call it an ear hook, when you're listening to a song and all of a sudden something shifts that dramatically. So they got our attention with that bridge.
And it's one of the great things about that song is if you listen to it again is he's always eating something in every song, I eat a handful of peanuts and I told him this, and took a bite of my donut and offered her one. It's really fun.
What else was going on in the bridge for you?
Well, I've heard the song before, so there's a couple of interesting things. Even lyrically, it kind of shifts, because the verse in the chorus, I'm assuming he's like a cab driver or something like that, and he's talking about this lady who's in the back, and she's just telling him, just drive. He's asking her, where do you want to go, and the whole bit about eating a donut and this. But it's very factual-based about what happened to me this night.
Right.
But in the bridge section, it gets a little bit more, it's almost like he goes on this sort of flight of fancy, where he's with the girl, and he's taken off to the moon or floating in the clouds.
Tropical island somewhere.
Yeah, he's walking on the beach with her in a tropical island.
Goes to fantasy.
Yeah, goes to fantasy, and then when it comes back to the verse and chorus, it's back to reality.
Again, that change of viewpoint.
A change of viewpoint, change in tone, everything.
Everything, the music and everything,
Yeah, so that's a pretty dramatic shift.
Yeah, so there's lots of different ways you can actually handle a bridge. Now, of course, we're going to be leaving pretty soon now for the live stream, but we'll keep on recording for our people listening on the podcast. So you're listening to Song Talk Radio on at the Scope Pod Ryerson. Visit us at Song Talk Radio or songtalk.ca. Visit us on Facebook at Song Talk Radio and Twitter at Song Talk Radio. So we'll see you again next week. And if you're listening to the podcast, we're still on. So there you go.
Okay. We'll just take a moment to do that?
Yes, well, I guess we can just keep on talking.
Okay, we'll keep on going. Okay, so we're going to continue with a couple more examples. We have a Vancouver-based blues rock band called No Sinner, and they have a song called Boo Hoo Hoo. And the bridge section in this is sort of a gritty, sort of sultry blues thing. Mm-hmm. And in the middle section of this song, they slow it right down into this really groovy, kind of gritty thing, which actually comes back at the slower tempo into the pre-chorus and then goes back into the chorus.
All right.
So it's kind of a big dramatic shift. You'll definitely notice it.
Mm-hmm.
And
cool.
Let's have a listen.
Ever since I can remember, ever since this baby spoke, I've been vying for a stint in the land of mist and smoke. You know I love the smell of whiskey, and I hate the taste of gin, but I always feel at home in a place that's soaked in sin. But I wanna leave it all behind if I could find me a man.
So that was No Sinner's song, Boo Hoo Hoo. Yeah, it's a fantastic song. So that one as well, it was an edited version. So there was a verse, chorus, and then the slowdown section. So it happened, right. The way we heard it now, it happened a lot faster than it would conventionally be. So one of the things I wanted to talk about is bridges. Sometimes when they're a big dramatic shift like that, it's great, and it's interesting to the listener.
Yeah.
Coming back can sometimes be a problem. I find that in songwriting too. If you hit a bridge and that's a great shift, but then trying to work your way back to the verse or chorus, sometimes you got to sort of go through some chords. So what they did here is they
stopped.
They just stopped. Right? She came back into a slower version of the pre-chorus,
right.
And then just literally left like 4 or 5 seconds of blank, and then launched back into the normal tempo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes, you know, I think it works. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, I mean, of course, her vocal is just so incredible that, you know, she could pretty well carry anything. But
I think on the radio they would be a bit perturbed by that space.
That pause,
The pause.
Perhaps,
confusing. But, no, I think it's a great example of doing a complete shift, like pulling the tempo way down. And that's typical of the blues, though, isn't it, to switch tempos in the middle of a song.
I think it can be, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that. It sounded like a basic 12-bar, and then they went and slowed it way down. And also the whole style of singing changed.
Oh, yeah.
There was no more screaming. It was very melodic. It stayed on the same story. You know,
But I think it got a little more introspective. It got a little bit more...
Yeah, pulling back from that.
Yeah, it was a little more story in the verse and chorus and a little bit more feeling oriented in the bridge.
I love the lyric.
Yeah, no, it's a...
Boo, hoo, hoo.
Yeah.
On my next album, I'm going to write a song called Boo, hoo, hoo.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. And up last is a song by yours truly, me, Neil Modi. And this is a song I wrote just a while back called Unceremoniously. And in this song, I've written a bridge section that doesn't change tempo. It shifts lyrically, harmonically, and melodically. Mm. I think.
So this would be CanCon, would it?
This is CanCon.
It's more can than you can imagine.
It's more con than you can imagine.
Oh, okay.
Now, are we coming into this song sort of midway through, or?
We're coming in. Let's see. The structure of this actually is interesting too, because I put the bridge in between two verses.
Uh-huh.
So it's like verse chorus.
You're
verse,
insane.
Bridge.
You're
verse,
mad.
Chorus.
You've gone mad.
Yes.
Good.
But well, I mean, there's a reason for that, in fact. But it has to do with the lyrical story. It just sort of made sense lyrically, because the lyric after the bridge is more positive than the lyric before the bridge, and the bridge
is the lyrical bridge
between the two.
After we hear this, remind me to talk about by the time we get to Phoenix. By the time I get to Phoenix, Jimmy Webb, writer in the 60s and 70s, very successful. But it's along this line of letting a bridge verses.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Madness. Okay.
Here it is. Here's the song.
Has it been too long? Maybe this can't be sustained. Though I feel so strong.
Okay, so that was my song, Unceremoniously. And
nice.
I think that bridge in the middle, it kind of stripped down the instruments as well to a limited extent. And then, like I said, the melodic shift, the harmonic shift, and the lyrical shift all together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's, again, just another way of giving a bit of, what's the word, distraction from... From any kind of monotony.
Right.
Now, what were you going to say about...
First of all, I want to say that sometimes you'll go to an instrumental out of a bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in pop songs, like you'll do your verse, chorus, bridge, and then it'll go into a instrumental on the chorus.
On the chorus, yeah.
And then back
or
to the bridge chorus.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's another option. No, I just wanted to recommend this book for all those aspiring songwriters out there. There was a songwriter in the 60s and 70s named Jimmy Webb, and he wrote a book, actually, called Tunesmith. And it's just for us. It was published in 1998. It still has a lot of good stuff in it that's relevant. You can find it at the library or the bookstore. It's called Tunesmith. And he told a story in there about trying to take a song to a Motown record company called Joe Bat Music in Los Angeles. And they rejected the song because it didn't have a chorus. And he said it just had three verses and a bridge, and it was rejected. So he tried it out later, and it became one of the biggest hits of all time, apparently, in terms of the amount of airplay. Mm-hmm. They measure the amount of airplay a song has had over the years, and that a couple of his songs are way, way up there.
Wow.
So anyway, just to say, folks, when you're writing songs, you don't have to have a chorus, you know, and many songs from the folk tradition, especially back in the 60s, 70s when I was writing.
Or bridges.
Yeah, I mean, they don't, you can have all verses, you can have verse, chorus, you can have verse, verse, bridge, verse.
Could you have all choruses?
You could have all choruses.
You can have all choruses,
yeah,
too, sure.
Yeah.
You could have all rests.
But no, the point I'm trying to make is that the thing is, like, to know these structures and study them as much as you can. Do a lot of listening. And I hope after this show you'll listen for bridges and songs and begin to know, if you're just starting out, that that's definitely a bridge. And listen for what it does for the song to
exactly.
help your songwriting
exactly.
improve.
It always has to
right?
serve the song.
Serve
right.
the song. And then, but of course, you know, once you know your stuff, when you know what bridges and choruses and verses are, mix it up. Have fun. Make experiments. Don't let anybody tell you can't do that.
That's true.
Another Beatles song.
You know, I've always suggested people who are getting into songwriting, if you want to listen to songs that really sort of almost just by listening to them will teach you how to write great pop songs, if you just listen to any of the Beatles, the early Beatles stuff, basically, mm-hmm. basically before Rubber Soul. Rubber Soul is where they started to kind of experiment.
Yeah.
But before that, they were doing very kind of almost classic pop song structures in terms of melody development, melody resolution, and structure. And if you actually pull those songs apart and do things as much as trying to figure out, okay, what's, you know, are they starting on the third? Are they starting on the fifth of the chord? And how are they, you know, resolving the melodies? You will learn so much.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
It's just a great way. It's kind of like listening to Bach for a for a classical musician, you know,
yeah.
it's the basis with which everything else kind of grew out of, you know.
Yeah, they were definitely they were influenced by managers. I mean, their first records had a lot of covers, so they were influenced mm-hmm. by a music scene and managers saying, we don't want to play with the formula, we want to deliver it. And they actually only wrote together for about 2 or 3 years, apparently, and then they started writing separately sharing
yeah.
the credit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's no band better to get the quintessential pop song.
Yeah, and even when you get to the post-Rubber Soul stuff,
like
a song like Something has,
oh, yeah.
has like three verses of bridge, like you were saying
yeah.
about that one, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. There's no
yeah.
there's no preset chorus.
No.
And you can get great songs from simple structures.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
This is the thing. It's the architecture, and then you can do whatever on that and build on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No. But so what's next there, Neil?
I think that's it. Do we end the debate on Hard Day's Night?
Oh, did we start it?
Well, okay.
Well, we started at the beginning.
It's true.
This is bookending.
Well, that's another point, because sometimes it's not even clear if there's a bridge at all.
That's true.
So,
this has been very contentious.
This has been very contentious, because Hard Day's Night, to me, has an A section and a B section. They're both pretty catchy. They're both pretty melodious and everything, but it just repeats, and one of them has half of it repeated as an instrumental,
yeah.
and then it goes back into it. Mm-hmm. But there's no, because to me a bridge is only it only can be called a bridge if it only happens once in the song, mm-hmm. and in Hard Day's Night it happens multiple times.
It does happen twice, yes.
So
twice.
Technically it's not, but the question would be, does it serve to bridge from one part of the song to the other in an effective way,
yeah.
whereas serving that purpose. Are we going to listen to a bit of it? Or?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah, we could.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also, I mean, it does change viewpoint. It does
yeah.
change melodic center. It does change viewpoint.
Yeah.
So it kind of does, it fits, apart from the fact that it happens twice, I think it does fit the role of a bridge, because it's not a chorus. It's,
yeah.
It doesn't it doesn't.
But why
up.
Isn't it a chorus? Well, because it's listen. Not. It's let's not chorusy.
Well, no. Let's have a listen first, because we can talk about: does it have the title of the song in it? Does it have the main theme in it? Is it?
Is this, this a song where Beatles broke a few of the rules? I
yeah,
think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I work all day to get your money to buy a thing, and it's worth it just to hear you say
the debate continues.
Well, it's on a technicality, you see, because really what you started the show off with, Neil, there was that bridge is a connecting between sections of a song, right? Can you go back to that?
Again, this is according to Wikipedia, so don't quote me on this. But, you know, the definition there is that it's a section that connects two sections, but it brings you back to the... to the previous section, to the default section.
Takes you on a trip
and brings you back somewhere, which those two sections in Hard Day's Night do.
Yeah.
They take you somewhere and they bring you back. Yeah. But it's just my opinion, just because it does it twice.
But let's talk about how it was like a bridge. So
yes.
The singer changed from John to Paul, it seemed to me, because they went into a high tenor. When I'm home, I think it was Paul, and it also melodically changed. John was down, very limited, and then it went really melodic in that B section of bridge. When I'm home, everything seems to be, and a little reflective, as you were saying.
Yeah, it does change. It's not because it was the verses are active. It's been a hard day's night. I've been when I'm home, it is a very different change of view.
Yeah.
So
and that's repeated. Of course, they were. We'd have to find another song where they did the same thing, where they had an A section and a B that got repeated, that had a bridge-like feel.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter, except to say that that is an illustration of how you can break a pattern, right? And so you've got a pattern going, and what you, as I've gone on and on about, is what's entertaining in music is the changes. And when you introduce a major change like that, of voice, of tone, of style, or whatever, the listener loves it. I don't know why, but we love it.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's a great
change. And Beatles were amazing at this, too, especially Hard Day's Night, because the way they bring it back to the A section, or to the original section, is just, it's beautifully crafted. It just makes its way back. The chords just all fall into place. It's really, really well done, you know.
Yeah. So they are the masters.
Yeah.
So get out there and write some bridges, folks.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I think that about wraps it up
for
our show on bridges. Or, again, as they say in the UK, middle eights.
Middle eights.
That's what the Beatles called them, I think. And so perhaps in the future we'll do a show for our UK audiences on what they call bridges, which in North America we call them pre-choruses. So maybe that's a future show pre-choruses.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be 8 bars, folks.
It doesn't have to be 8 bars.
That's
and
right.
And as the Beatles demonstrated, it doesn't have to be in the middle either.
That's true.
It can be asymmetrical.
The Beatles had... They had one song that had 11 bars.
Yeah.
In the bridge?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Which song was that?
One of the early ones, because I was counting it off.
And, okay, cool.
Yeah, you can break the rules. It makes more interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
So should we tell them how to get in touch again? Or?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So everyone out there, be sure to visit us at songtalk.ca. And once again, there you'll find a link to the Songwriters Cafe meetup group on meetup.com. Once a month, we meet at the Central Bar in downtown Toronto, and songwriters provide constructive feedback on each other's songs. You can sign up at meetup.com, and you don't have to present a song. You can even come by if you just want to listen or join in on the conversation.
My friend Peter is coming this Sunday. Ooh. He's a musician, an amateur musician. He's just getting into writing. He just wants to come and hear what the writing is like.
He will find it very valuable.
Yes.
I'm certain. And once again, the next meetup, Bruce, can you tell us when the next meetup is?
Yeah, it's Sunday, May the 24th at 4 o'clock at the Central.
May 25th.
That is absolutely correct. I knew I'd get it wrong. All right, let's double check. It is the 25th.
It's May
the 25th.
Yep.
And, you know, when you're listening to this on podcast, it may not mean anything to you.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's the 25th at 4 o'clock, and it's once a month. So why don't we say what's the next one? Because that's going to be, I think, you, isn't it?
I think I'm doing the one in June. It's on a Wednesday, the last Wednesday in June, whatever it is.
Well, probably the 25th then of June. Anyway, check out the meetup.
Check out meetup.com, Songwriters Cafe, and you will find all the details.
Indeed.
And of course, this Sunday, Bruce, you're hosting. Is that right?
That is correct.
Awesome. It's going to be a great time. Mm-hmm. Great food, great beer.
Good times, good friends.
Good times all around.
So, be in touch with us. Let us know what you thought of this show on bridges, and give us your opinions and your ideas and all that. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. So we say cheers, and everyone listening, and happy songwriting to everybody. Have a good night.
Good night.
Sometimes.